I want to take just a moment tonight and thank you for being here as we gather for our third Christmas Eve service of the evening. Each one has been unique and special in its own right, and tonight I just sense a really deep spirit of peace in this place as we sing and as we hear the scriptures and we just recognize that we're in God's presence. I recognize that on a Christmas Eve that sometimes we gather, and some of us do this on a regular basis, and others perhaps maybe once a year. And I just want to tell you, if this is the first time you've been here in a while, you picked a great night to come. So thank you for coming tonight. My firm belief is that everyone deserves a church home, a place where they can connect with God, where they can find a spiritual family, where they can develop and use their gifts for service in this world, and to shine the light of Jesus in a very dark world in which we live. I've been a pastor for 25 years now, and this is my 25th Christmas Eve service, my third here at Riverside. And I truly believe that Christmas Eve is really the time in which we celebrate the night that heaven came to earth. That's what we're doing tonight. Some of you know I grew up in southeast Ohio, a little small town in the hills of Perry County. And when I grew up, we had four TV stations, if we were lucky. 4, 6, and 10 out of Columbus, of course, and where I grew up, Channel 18 out of Zanesville, Ohio, WHIZ-TV, Wiz TV. It'd be funny if it weren't true. Wiz TV. But I have this very fond memory growing up. Every year about this time, you could write a letter to Santa Claus and send it right into the TV station, and every evening, Monday through Friday, between 5 and 5:15, there was a live show from the studio of Santa Claus reading letters from local children. And so for years, I'd kind of glue myself to that television set, big console TV, and wait for Santa to read my name. And year after year after year, he just never got to my letter. Well, Christmas came. It was great. But one year, finally, Santa Claus read a letter from little Davy Katie from Crooksville, Ohio. I remember because my parents were sitting there watching it with me, and he read my name. He began to read my letter, a very detailed letter of all the things that I wanted for Christmas. I'd done my homework, JCPenney catalog, circled all the things that I wanted. Santa read the letter, and then at the end of the letter, he asked a question that I had not anticipated. You know the question that Santa Claus always asks. He asked it right there on live television, directed at me, with my parents sitting in the room with me. Have you been a good little boy this year? Now, I knew the answer I was supposed to give. There's a certain understanding the child has. The answer has to be yes, but I knew the truth deep in my heart, that the truth was, well, not always had I been a good little boy, and my parents knew it too. I fought with my sister, I hadn't played nice with the neighbor kids, hadn't done all the chores I'd been asked to do, and so I found myself in a dilemma. Was I good enough for Christmas to come to my house that year or not? I would struggle with that for years, as maybe you do as well. Struggling with the true meaning of Christmas as opposed to what we think it means. Maybe for some of us tonight, we still have this deep-seated belief that Christmas is about our goodness, when in reality, it's about God's goodness. It's about God's goodness and His love being poured out upon the world through the gift of His Son, a baby born in Bethlehem. Maybe tonight, as we gather in this place, we might be reminded of just how good God has been. This is the night that heaven came to earth, not because of our goodness, but because of God's. Now, I have an illustration I'd like to share with you tonight. I shared it at the earlier service with the kids that were present. We had about 50 kids in the first service, and they were very energetic, as you can imagine. Now, you're a much more sophisticated crowd than I had at that service, but I'm going to take the risk. Don't tell them I said that. I'm going to take the risk and share this illustration with you as well. Now, there's going to come a point at various points in this little story where it's a bit of an audience participation. And I'm going to ask various questions, and I'm going to need you to respond with the response, of course not, Pastor Dave. Okay, so let's just practice for a moment. When you walked in tonight through the narthex, you might have noticed there were just plenty of goodies out there, cookies and cupcakes Jale had prepared for us this evening. Now, here's the question for you. When you walk back through, are you going to walk right past those goodies? All right, you're catching on. You know how this works. Christmas is a season of gift giving. Did you get me a gift tonight?
Of course not.
All right, two for two. All right. And now the most important one. By any chance in the evening, are you going to fall asleep during this message?
Of course not.
All right. So the story is that a man decided he wanted to go to heaven and speak with God. So he thought and thought about how he was going to get there, and he decided, well, first thing he would do is he would fly an airplane, and he would make it all the way to heaven and have a conversation with God. Now, while I'm doing this, I am making a paper airplane, much like I did in study hall in high school. Now, I've flown on many airplanes before in my life, and what I've learned is they go pretty high in the sky. Tens of thousands of feet in the air above the clouds. I've traveled around the world, literally, three times. It was in a bigger airplane than this, but work with me. Now, in the first service with the children, I asked them to make the airplane noise. I won't do that to you tonight. Do you really want to? Okay. How's the airplane go, Jale? There you go. And so our friend flew all the way up into the sky, 10,000 feet, 20,000 feet, 30,000 feet above the clouds. But what he realized is as high as he could fly in that airplane, he still wasn't going to make it to heaven in that airplane. So he went back down to earth and he landed. So the question is, can an airplane take us to heaven?
Of course not.
And so our friend decided that what he would do is he would board a rocket ship. You know the kind that they have with NASA? The kind that send men and women into outer space. And so that's what he did. And he got on a rocket ship. And the kids were really good at this one. Countdown. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Blast off. And up into space he went through the clouds, thousands and thousands of feet into the atmosphere, into outer space, orbited the earth, but you know what? He realized he wasn't going to make it to heaven in a rocket. Do you think he could do that?
Of course not, Pastor Dave.
So that left him with a dilemma. And all his efforts and all the hard work and all the planning, and he still couldn't make it to heaven. What could possibly get him into heaven? Well, our little illustration reminds us that it is Jesus Christ, his life, his death, his resurrection, that makes it possible for us to get to heaven. I love the Christmas story as recorded in Luke's gospel. We intentionally read it tonight from the King James Version, the poetic language of that ancient translation. I've read this literally for decades of my life. And something stood out for me this time around that I'd like to share with you. What I hadn't noticed before is that the word tax shows up four times in the first five verses. I'll share verse 1 with you. Again, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." All the world. The Roman government was requiring people to go to their hometowns so that they could be taxed to fund the government. And as I read through that passage, you can read it for yourself, over and over again, the word tax begins to emerge. Now, I know what a tax is, as well as you do, I'm sure. But I looked it up in the dictionary, and it says that a tax is something that is imposed upon you. It's a compulsory contribution. What I was reminded of is that all the world was going to be taxed under the Roman government. Now, God began to speak to me as I read that, and fast forward to verse 10, as the angels are proclaiming the birth of Jesus, the angel says to the shepherds, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." All people. Good news, something that we want to hear, something that we need to hear. And unlike a tax that is imposed on us, the angel speaks of a gift that God wants to give us. For some reason, that spoke to my heart this Christmas. Because I bet you are aware, as much as I'm aware, that the world just takes and takes and takes. And God just gives and gives and gives. Isaiah the prophet describes the gift this way. He'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. St. Matthew describes the gift this way. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And the angels describe the gift this way. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This is the night that heaven came to earth. It's a moment in time when God gave light and life in the dead of night. This is the gift of God's goodness, not our goodness. I want you to think about that tonight as we prepare for Holy Communion. And as you leave this place and go home and prepare for whatever celebrations you have tomorrow, don't forget. How could you forget? Now I ask you, in light of such a gift that God is offering to us tonight, the gift of His Son, the gift of His grace and forgiveness, the gift of His love, is it even possible for you to refuse such a gift? Of course not, Pastor Dave. Let's pray. Oh God, we know what it's like to live in this world, a world that takes and takes and takes. We desperately need a God who gives and gives and gives. And we are grateful tonight, Lord, as we read the Christmas story, that the very message of the gospel is that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And so tonight, Lord, as we prepare for Holy Communion, it is our sincere prayer that we might encounter the presence of Christ in these moments, that we might come to the realization that this isn't about our goodness, it's about God's goodness. So Lord, bless us in these moments. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You created light out of darkness and brought forth life on the earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. In the fullness of time, you gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior, and at his birth the angels sang, "Glory to you in the highest, and peace on your people on earth." And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, Hosanna in earth are full of your glory.
Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. As Mary and Joseph went from Galilee to Bethlehem, and there found no room, so Jesus went from Galilee to Jerusalem and was despised and rejected. As in the poverty of a stable, Jesus was born, and so, by the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. As your word became flesh, born of woman, on that night so long ago, so on the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread. He gave thanks to you. He broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen.
Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
Friends, we'll be celebrating communion by intinction. You'll be invited to come forth and take a piece of the bread and to dip it into the cup. We also have gluten-free, and we also have separate cups that I'm going to put down on this table underneath the pulpit if you want a separate cup of juice. I invite our communion servers to come forward.
We come now to my favorite part of the Christmas Eve service, the lighting of the Christ candle, the lighting of each individual candle. Hear these words from John's Gospel, the first chapter, verses 1 to 5 and verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And now, in celebration of the birth of Jesus, we light the Christ candle. He is the light of the world, the King of kings, the Prince of peace, Emmanuel, the Son of God. Alleluia, the Lord is come.